You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Morning, everybody. Just so you know, too, next week, just so you can kind of prepare, we are going to highlight something for you. For those of you who are sitting there going, I'd like to do something for the people of Ukraine, and I'm not really sure what to do, be prepared. Next week, you can actually come and give. Vineyard USA, we partnered with Convoy of Hope, and you'll get more information about Convoy of Hope next week. But Convoy of Hope is a wonderful organization that are boots on the ground. When any catastrophe is happening in domestically or abroad, they are so organized and well prepared to enter in. And right now, Convoy of Hope is actually taking in refugees in Poland and providing a lot of support. And we actually have three Vineyard churches in the Ukraine. And so we'll have a video next week, but be prepared to bring something to give to Convoy of Hope next week, and you'll find out more information about that when we share. So we're doing this series, By My Spirit, and we're preparing for Easter in this Lenten time, and we're doing some introspective work. I don't know if you've ever done that when you were younger, this sort of this introspective work, and often you would ask the question is, who do I want to be when I grow up? Right? And we started imitating different people. I don't know if you imitated people or tried to imitate people because you wanted to be like them. I remember when I was a kid, there was a football player named Brian Bosworth. Anybody know who that is? Okay, a few, right? A lot of you, some people don't like him. But I thought he was like the coolest football player ever. He was big, he was tough, and he played for Oklahoma in college, and he had a mohawk with like stripes down the side, and I thought, that guy. I want to be like that guy, you know? And so what I do, I got a mohawk. I dyed it blonde up top, you know? And then I had red and white stripes down the side. And I saw a picture of him once in Sports Illustrated, and he had 40-pound dumbbells in his hand in the gym. And so what did I do? I went to the gym, and I just stood there with 40-pound dumbbells, and I thought, I'm Brian Bosworth. You know, I didn't know what to do with the 40-pound dumbbells other than to hold them, but I held them, and I thought I was Brian Bosworth, and I tried to emulate him, and I like paid attention. He played linebacker. I want to play linebacker, right? I tried to be him, and I failed miserably because, one, I'm not like 6'2", 6'3", whatever, and I definitely did not know what to do with the 40-pound dumbbells, and clearly he did, and so I failed, and so then I thought, you know what? I'm going to be somebody else. I'm going to imitate someone else. I've been taking piano lessons since I was 6 years old. My parents forced it on me. I hated it, but I did it anyway. And I thought, oh, Billy Joel. Like, I could be Billy Joel. That's who I'm going to be. I'm going to be Billy Joel. So, like, I studied. I learned how to play all of his songs. I, you know, did everything I could to become Billy Joel. And then I realized I didn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be Billy Joel. I wasn't that good. No matter how much I practiced, I fell short. Well, during this Lent season, we're continuing this series, and we're looking at the Holy Spirit during Lent, these 40 days that stretch from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. And this is the time when Christians around the world, historically, we engage in some introspection, a sort of spiritual spring cleaning, if you will. We clean out all the junk in our lives that distract us, break some bad habits, let the stale air out and get ready for a fresh Easter breeze. And we prepare for Easter Sunday. And today, as this series, Be My Spirit, I've called today's talk, Walking with the Spirit. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Romans 8, verses 1 through 11 today. Romans 7, by the way, it focuses very much on the law. And then Romans 8 focuses on the Spirit. So do we have slides for Romans 8 through 11? Okay, cool. It's not in my notes, so I'm going to read the screen with you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So Romans 7 is like crazy focus on the law. Romans 8 focuses on the Spirit. Romans 7, the law is mentioned 31 times and the Holy Spirit just once. But in Romans 8, the Spirit's mentioned 19 times. Romans 8 is about the power of the indwelling in us to change us and to make us actually look more like Jesus. Romans 8 is about life in the Spirit. And the goal of the Spirit is actually to make us more Christ-like. Romans 8:29 says this, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. All over the New Testament, it teaches that Christians, the goal is to live our lives to look more like Jesus. Here's a few. So Matthew 10:24-25, the student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above the master. Enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of this household? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And then again, Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. We can go on and on and on about how in the New Testament, it says over and over again that we are supposed to move towards Christ-likeness. So what is God up to in your life to make you look like Jesus? God uses everything at his disposal. He uses Christian teaching, he uses his word, Christian relationships, communion, suffering, waiting, his Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:1-3, it said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in his likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemns sin in the flesh. So Paul teaches us this, that Christ-likeness comes about through embracing our justification. So this is like super comforting, okay? Because if you think about it, Romans 8 starts with what? It starts with no condemnation for those in Christ. That feels good. No condemnation, right? And then it ends with no separation for those who are in Christ. That feels good. And then in the middle, it says no defeat for those who are in Christ. It's like a win-win-win. Like I'm feeling really good right now about Romans 8, right? So no condemnation, no separation, no defeat for those who are in Christ. It sounds awesome. So if we look at Romans 8:1, it said Paul is talking about justification. Now, justification means being declared righteous by God. Now in Romans 8, verses 2 through 3, Paul is speaking about sanctification. Big, big religious word, right? Sanctification means being actually made righteous by God. So what if we compare these two? That's what we're going to do today. We're going to compare the two. Justification says we are freed from the penalty of sin. Sanctification says we are freed from the power of sin. See, being a Christian is more than just being freed from condemnation, right? And getting that not guilty verdict at the end of your life and you get to go off into heaven and live your life. It's more than that. It's more than that. Being a Christian includes this process of being freed from the power and the grip over sin in your life. Justification says Christ is for us. Sanctification says the Holy Spirit is in us. So justification focuses on what Christ has done for us on the cross. He was our substitute, right? He died and bared the sin, and justification happened outside of us. But sanctification happens inside of us. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts and our attitude. Justification is God's declaration of righteousness. Sanctification, we actually become righteous. Justification is a degree through like faithfulness of Jesus Christ and our trust in him. God decrees us to be the right with himself. And sanctification is God's actually changing you so that you become more and more right in the eyes of God. Sanctification means you are actually becoming more like Jesus. Justification is a finished work. It's done. Sanctification is a continuing work. See, justification is a once and for all event. God declares us right with him because of the once and for all death that he experienced and the resurrection of his son Jesus. Sanctification is this ongoing process that lasts from the time that we've chosen to follow him to the time when we receive our resurrected bodies. Now, here's the deal. Justification and sanctification, they never can be separated. They're together. Justification being declared by God to be in the right with him, it is also the main thrust into our sanctification. So let me put it this way. How is it that we would be made like Christ? Paul starts his argument by saying, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So how does one recognize about not being condemned by God by actually being right with God and help them be more Christ-like? So if you've ever hung out with a Lutheran or hung out with a Lutheran church, you may have heard this. They often will say sanctification is simply the art of getting used to your justification. Sanctification is simply the art of getting used to your justification. In other words, sanctification is simply the art of learning to accept your acceptance. Learning to accept your acceptance. Think about it. How would knowing God's acceptance of you actually move you in the Christ-like direction? How would knowing that? Think about all of the neurotic, unhealthy, sinful ways that you talk to people, that you relate to people one-on-one, in your lives, right? We speak poorly about people. We would never do what that person did, right? We would never treat someone that way. I would never send that nasty email. I am not emotionally immature like that person, right? We put others down to lift ourselves up. Think about what unhealthy, neurotic, sinful ways that make ourselves feel okay. We brag and boast about ourselves and everything that I've done, right? We exaggerate the good things about our life. Just look at your social media feed, right? We bend who we are to please people. We trade in our convictions. We codependently try to meet everyone else's needs looking for acceptance. How many people engage in sex, not particularly because you want to, but because you crave acceptance? going along with the crowd, conforming. What if we lived life every day from the foundation of believing that we are okay before the only one whose opinion matters, the Almighty God? What if we started every day by accepting our acceptance, believing that we are right with God, not because of what we've done, but by his sinless life, sacrificial death, and resurrection? So if you've been around here much, you've heard that I have a practice that I do every day, and I go down to the lake, and I start every day down there. I have this practice. I go down the lake, and hopefully no one from my work is paying attention or watching online, because I will often, I kind of don't start my day until I'm ready. So I'll go down the lake, and sometimes, about 10, 15 minutes, I'm good to go. I've connected with God. I'm engaged. I have invited God into my day, and sometimes it takes a little longer, and I'm texting my work partner saying, hey, I'm running a little late. I don't know when I'll get in. So hopefully they're not listening. But I do. I start down there, and I do my best I do my best not to leave that spot, not to start my day until I'm right with God, until I've accepted my acceptance, until I've engaged him in what I'm going forward to in the day. Romans 8:4 says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, the word live is more appropriately translated as walk. Christ's likeness comes through walking in the Spirit. Walking is actually Paul's most common word for the practice of Christian life that he uses in his letters. He actually uses the word walking 17 times in his letters to describe the Christian life. We walk in the way of God. Walking is actually a kind of a helpful description, because the change is, it's a slow process, right? He didn't say we sprint. We walk. We walk. We take 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. We battle depression, gluttony, anxiety, jealousy, lust. It can sometimes feel like you aren't growing at all sometimes. It's like a physical growth of a child. I know there's a bunch of people here that have just, they have new babies, right? And when you stare at that baby for 3 hours because you can't look at anything else, you don't actually see it grow, right? You don't see it grow. But 6 months or a year goes by and you're like, oh my goodness, they're growing so fast. So fast. Over time, people who don't see you every day, like old friends, like if you start following Jesus and you haven't seen someone for a while, and then you reconnect, maybe 2 or 10 years later, you've been walking with the Spirit, and they're gonna see something different. They're gonna say, you're not the same person that I once knew. There's something different about you. If you're a person who is regularly going to God about an issue in your life, asking God to change you, putting that issue to death, you're gonna change. And it's slow, it's a walk. Now, I had this pastor for a long time. He used to talk about walking a lot. And the first time I heard it, I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like that analogy, And then I worked for him. And he would just say it over and over and over again. He used to drive me crazy. He's like, Dave, it's a walk. You got to go left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And he would say it all the time. He would say it all the time, ad nauseum. But it's true. I began to sort of embrace it, that life with the Spirit is a walk. It's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. You want to change your marriage? Monday morning you wake up and you be kind to your spouse. Tuesday morning you wake up, you be kind to your spouse. Wednesday morning you wake up, you be kind to your spouse. It's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. The same is true with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? It's the same thing. If I want to encounter and engage more of the Spirit, I challenge you. Like we've got 4 weeks of Lent. Like walk with the Holy Spirit these 4 weeks. Monday, wake up sometime with the Holy and invite the Holy Spirit first thing, right? Tuesday, after your coffee, spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Wednesday, go on an actual walk and spend time with the Holy Spirit. Thursday, maybe try a life group. Friday, maybe serve the poor on our street team. Invite the Holy Spirit to that. Wednesday, maybe not this Wednesday, but maybe next Wednesday, show up to prayer. Show up to prayer. Maybe you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't pray in front of people. That's okay. That's okay. Just come. Just come and sit in the Spirit. Just invite the Spirit in. Sunday, show up to church. You keep walking. It takes perseverance, but you keep walking. One step, by the way, is not a walk. One step's not a walk. You got to take multiple steps, okay? So we keep walking. How many of you ever heard people say, oh, you know, I tried counseling. It didn't work. And you go, well, how many times did you go? Well, I went like once or twice, right? I went once or twice. You know, I thought about going to prayer on Wednesday once, but I didn't do it, right? You gotta walk, take multiple steps. And it's okay to take a step and just sit and invite the Spirit to speak to you. When God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go, I'm sure Moses thought I was just gonna show up and just say, let my people go. I'm sure he didn't realize he had to do it 2, 3, 4, 12 times before actually his people were let go. He had to take multiple steps, right? John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, he used to say, don't talk to me about how God doesn't heal people today until you prayed for 200 people who are sick, right? In Romans 8, 5 through 9, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. It's God's will that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's God's will that we love other people as we love ourselves. It's God's will that we forgive everyone for everything. It's God's will that we never lust, that we never hate, that we are generous with our money. The only people whose God's will can be fulfilled are those who set their minds not what the flesh desires, but on what the Spirit desires. So we walk in the Spirit so we can be more like Jesus. The Christian life is all about life in the Spirit. It begins with responding to the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, what you've done is actually surrendered yourself to the control of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You responded to this tug of the Holy Spirit, and you're transformed by continuing to respond to that Holy Spirit's tug. You start your day by asking God to make you sensitive and responsive to the little things and the big things in your life. You say, Lord, make me sensitive to little moments of departure, moments where I have turned away from you, your will, so that I don't have to find myself making huge departures from your will. Let's say you have an issue with like lying, a little integrity gap maybe, right? You start your day, Lord, make me sensitive to the exaggerations of the truth. Make me sensitive to the deceptions that run through my day. When you do this, you will experience the Spirit's tug on you. You will experience the Spirit tugging you and pulling at you when those things happen, when those moments arise. The Spirit will put a finger on the words that are about to come out of your mouth or the words that are about to be typed on that email. Lord, make me sensitive to the tugging of your Spirit today. We cannot become Christ-like by just conforming our behaviors to imitate Jesus. We can't just imitate Jesus. We actually need the Holy Spirit in us, changing us from the inside out so we can look more like him. Why don't we stand? I'm going to invite the worship band up. But I also want to extend an invitation to you as well. As we worship today, we enter in a time of praying, of actually engaging the Holy Spirit, actually talking to him and inviting him into our situations live right here. And the way that we do that, we have a prayer team that'll be in the back. And what I'd like to do is offer a couple things. One, if you're someone who's like, hey, you know what, I've been coming to church for a while, but I don't know that I sort of do it routinely. I don't know that I'm being changed from the inside out. Or maybe this is your first time here. I'm not being changed from the inside out. And I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to do that. I just want to say, hey, awesome. We're really psyched that you came today. And I want to invite you to come and just go talk to someone in the back. They'll be to my left, your right in the back will be our prayer team. And I'll be back there as well. And we would love to pray for you and invite the Holy Spirit into you to change you from the inside out. And then for some of you too, I just want to say that there might be, maybe you haven't thought about this as sort of a daily routine, you know, just as my feet hit the floor, like engaging God, inviting God into everything, that there's places in your life that you haven't. You've invited him in, you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, but there are places where you did, or situations or little decisions or even big ones that you just haven't invited the Holy Spirit into. And I just want to encourage you today to do that. Invite the Holy Spirit into it. You may be saying, that's a trivial thing. I don't need to do that. Maybe. See what happens. See how God moves when you invite the Holy Spirit in. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then if there's anything else, like we always want to get prayer for things. So if there's something that's sort of weighing on your mind or you're not feeling well or there's an ailment or you've got some physical issues, we would love to pray for that. And then I just want to share one more thing. I came to prayer on Wednesday and got sort of a picture. And I thought maybe it might be for a few folks in the room. But I got this picture as I was praying that there was like four people and they had sort of these bird cages as hats. And in the cage were these birds. And each person had a bird and it was like really loud tweeting, like chirping, like so loud that you couldn't concentrate. I know this sounds a little strange for some of you. You're like, what is he talking about? But Imagine you had a hat with a cage and a bird that just wouldn't shut up and just became super annoying, right? And what I felt like the Lord was saying is, for some of you, there's a voice in your head that just won't shut up, just won't be quiet, won't be still, and is sort of interrupting the relationship, the conversation that you could have with the Holy Spirit, because you can't hear because it's overbearing. And I really feel like God wants to actually open that cage today and let that bird out. And let the bird out. So if that speaks to you, if there's something or someone or some, you know, that has just sort of been weighing on you and you feel like that it's been really just oppressive on you engaging God and engaging the Spirit, and you want to be set free of that. I just got to let this go. I just want to invite you to get prayer today. Okay?
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.